I mean, you can stuff your face with a popcorn ball. I'm sure our listeners won't mind.
No, not at all.
No. I want to, but I'll wait for later.
The ride home?
Yeah.
Where did... I was looking for my knife.
Your knife? A K knife? How big of a K knife?
I think all my hobby knives are upstairs.
Yeah. Did you need one for something?
Oh, well, yeah.
I got a K knife.
I'm good.
Okay. Ooh, MMC token.
Yep.
Well.
Well, yeah. Because when he set that set, for the GC, he sent me a set too.
Oh, nice. Oh. Hello. Dice down. You rolled a six.
I rolled a six. That I'm good.
Explodes. I love the exploding dice mechanic.
It is such a cool mechanic.
More games need that.
I think it's funny how many people complain about a D8 exploding.
Really?
Because of the averages.
Those math people.
I'm not a math person.
And their maths.
I just think it's fun when they go boom.
When they go boom. Because you can't predict it. That's yeah. The most enjoyable part.
Yes.
Is that unpredictability of suddenly doing something awesome.
It's the...
Or something going horribly, horribly wrong.
Horribly wrong. Oh, this is an easy one. All I need is threes. One, one, one. All I need are sixes.
Wow.
Roll them all. I don't know. I mean, it's... I think it's one of the parts that I love the most about Dead Zone, actually.
Yeah.
Is that randomness on the exploding of the dice.
Oh, yeah.
Because your little Reb...
Woo! Go Rebs. Woo! Go Rebs.
Can take on a Forge Father and wipe him out with the right roll.
With the right roll.
It's like, I don't know if it's going to work, but I'm going to take a shot.
It's so, like, cinematic, too, like, yes. In that respect. Is like, you have that little hero moment where it all goes horribly right or all horribly wrong.
Yeah, so, with that, hey, welcome to Dead Zone, the podcast.
I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
Welcome to the Dead Zone podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop.
And here we are at the end at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's December 1st, the day we're recording.
Yep, so we're at the very beginning of December, so...
Which kind of works out for our scheduling, because, well, yeah. Christmas, everything gets pretty packed, so yeah. Like, this was the best time for us to get together for it anyways.
Yeah, that worked out, but who knows what's going to happen over the course of December. Like, it is... It's always a very eventuous month, I feel.
Yeah, I mean, I work retail, so it's kind of chaotic no matter how you look at it.
And especially with Mantic, like, they always like to
throw something at us.
Yeah. They're not doing Crazy Box.
No, but Crazy Bobby did do the Black Friday.
Yep.
15% off?
I think so.
Yeah, 10 or 15% off, which...
Not
great
bad.
Great time to get in. Yep. I mean, especially if you were looking at spending, say, $120 to buy some new Forge Father Artificers.
Or even that new Dead Zone set, like.
Oh, that's what I forgot to grab. I have the mouse pad. I have the neoprene mat upstairs.
Oh, nice.
I'll be right back. Brian, tell them.
Listeners, let me describe. Rick has just gone up the stairs. He's out of my view, but he could really be anywhere. So how are you, listeners? I hope you are all doing well. Stay warm this time of year. It can be cold outside. It can also be slippery on the roads. So if you drive, you know, make sure that your dice or your tires are rolling eights as much as possible. Or would that be bad, Rick?
What?
If their tires were rolling eights Because wouldn't that mean that their tires are exploding? But they would get a new...
Well, I guess if you look at that, because...
You get a new tire immediately, though.
So if you go from a Dreadball perspective, right?
Yeah.
So your wheels moving would kind of like be a sprint.
Okay, so it's
and then you're going to dash forward, so you need a six.
Okay, so we'll go with that route. So as you're as you're driving down slippery roads, just remember that it's a 1-2-3 test, which means it's going to get more and more difficult the longer you do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's winner.
Yeah.
In a nutshell, when it comes to driving, is you do a dash, you better roll high.
That is a nice neoprene mat.
Yeah, that is the new neoprene mat. And it's slightly thinner.
Oh, yeah.
Than the older second and first edition mats.
Yeah, those are...
And its colors are phenomenal.
Yeah, it really pops. Like, that is a nice gaming mat.
Yay.
Though I will say, we mentioned it before, but on the paper one that comes with the starter set... The intro stuff on the back.
The intro on the back makes that so worth it to have in the two-player starter. Well, yeah. Sure, I mean, I'd love to have gotten a two-player starter with this, but then I wouldn't have had that mat.
Yeah, yeah.
So I love having that mat, too.
Yeah, it's very good stuff.
Well, because it's set up, so, I mean, you pick up that game, and your buddy that has no idea what it is, has never played a miniatures game, even that one, it's so quick because it's got where the scenery goes. It's got where they're positioned. It's got everything around it, and it's just quick, and it's in.
And
10, 15 minutes later, game's over, and they're going to look at the shelf to see what they can buy.
You get to the best part of Dead Zone right away.
Oh, yeah.
You get past, because you know, new players, a lot of times there'll be that little bit of rules intimidation.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it is its own book and everything like that. People will be like, oh, look at it. It's like that thick. It's probably so many rules. And it's like, in the grand scheme, it becomes so second nature.
Yeah.
But so you get that taste of how second nature it is just by jumping into that first demo game.
Yeah, and that first demo game with what rules are available.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, the only thing that you're missing in that, from a rules perspective, is you look at building your list, the point cost and everything that goes involved in that,
yeah,
command dice,
yeah,
and the unique rules that and abilities that come with specific models, and you have that anyways in any game.
Yeah.
So, really, it's two pieces, building your list and command dice.
Yeah.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great, and we hope everyone... You know, at this time of year when the episode comes out, you know, hopefully you've been able to gather with your family and friends and maybe, you know, just kind of like, hey, look what I got for the holiday season. What's this? This is a new game. It's Dead Zone. It's third edition. It's brand spanking new, and it's a good one. We should play. And that's how you get people in.
Yeah.
More often than not, like... Just getting the game out in front of people is a good first step.
So, speaking of getting the game out in front of people, so you did your demo.
Yes.
You had Jeremiah there.
Yeah.
Who's somebody that you met at the GT.
Yep.
Through us. So, what happened after that? Like, just recently.
Jeremiah, another instance where, hey, this guy lives like 20 minutes from my house. So I'm finding that there's actually a pretty starting to build up a little community of new players around where I live. Both with Jeremiah and his group, he's got a bunch of friends that he does kind of board game nights with. I think they live like in a little cul-de-sac. So it's like a little
perfect
little group of houses and everything. And he's like, yeah, we do like a board game night. And he's like, and they've been playing Dead Zone.
They've a lot of them have been posting pictures on our MMC group.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's like, holy crap, that blew up fast.
And I feel bad because I actually haven't been able to, my schedule's been so busy, I haven't been able to go out and game with them again yet.
Yeah.
But it's definitely on my list of like, hey, I need to get over
hook
there.
Hook up with these guys. Yeah, definitely.
Meanwhile, I did another demo for the guy I played Kings of War with.
Yep.
Who, this is the guy that's 2 minutes from my house.
Which is perfect.
Yep. Nice guy.
Yeah, good.
As mentioned previously, won the Sportsman Award for
yep.
the Michigan GT.
Somebody won the Sportsmanship Award and is playing Brian in a game. How could that game not be amazing?
It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. Because he was at the GT. We were talking to him about Dead Zone. He was intrigued at it then. So went over to his place. He's got like a little game room in his basement. And so we did a quick little, I think we did 100 points.
Okay.
I think I played Rebs or GCPS, and he played Marauders.
Sweet.
And he had some 40K minis that he could proxy in, but, you know, set up a little board, a little bit more than what, you
know,
demos with. And then like we played a quick game. He's picking up. And then we just nerded out about the lore. Like we spent a good probably hour, honestly.
That's awesome.
Just telling him about how, you know, how kind of unique and fresh and livable, like living is this.
And he told him that the world. Marauders are the reason why the Rebs exist, right?
I think I hinted at that.
You hinted at it.
I did go over the Mandrake Rebellion.
Okay.
And how cool the Marauders are.
Yes.
I did make sure to push that agenda.
Good. Somebody needs to.
and so we're obviously going to be getting together again, and a good buddy of his is also interested.
Awesome.
So we're getting a group going there. And then we're actually also getting together for Kings of War like next weekend. Over in the Howell area at Upkeep Games, which again is kind of a nice middle ground. So I'm going to be putting out the word. It's like, hey,
awesome.
And that's,
I'll have to let Nick know that you guys are playing.
I'm going to message, cause we mostly chat like over text. And so this is one of those like multiple channels of communication, keeping everybody in the loop. But that's
kind of how it works.
That's how it works. And honestly, I'm kind of fine if that's, by like how I facilitate the gathering, right? Where it's these guys are just chomping at the bit to play again, and I'm like, I'm limited, but I can send some people your way.
Yep.
Because I think there's four of them, five including me, from the southeast area.
Yep.
And so if we can get, you know, another two people.
Oh yeah.
From the middle. And I think when we did the Dead Zone demo at Upkeep Games, in Howell, really, first of all, very nice people.
Yep.
Second of all, very nice store. Like they expanded.
Yeah, it was a nice little store. And their gaming area was great.
Yeah,
you know, it's one of those things. Actually, like they had the 40K table, so it's perfect for Kings of War.
Mm-hmm.
But I was looking at it going, there is enough room for like a 20 plus tournament for Dead Zone.
Yes.
Easily with the way their tables are set up.
Yeah. And they got nice rolly table. Like it's a very nice shop. And so, like and there's still that copy of Dreadfall.
There is.
I chatted with him before I left. I'm like, you know, maybe next time I'll bring a business card. I want to tape it. Can I tape it to this box? So that the person that picks this up, because it's so this Dreadball box.
I'm just saying, I went over there and checked it out.
It's a heavy. It's heavy.
So that's got, it's at least the new starter.
Yeah.
With a neoprene mat.
At least that.
And the first edition of mat.
Probably.
Because I was kind of moving it around, and it looked like there was the neoprene mat and then the folded in half mat, which is first edition.
Mm-hmm.
But there definitely had to be more models in that.
There's.
What's in the
game? There's got to be some metal models in there, which
heavy.
Is either, I think, Teratons or Zs, but that'd be a heck of a lot of Zs.
That would be a stupid amount of Zs.
So if you're in the Howell area of Michigan and are looking to get into Dreadball,
that's the spot.
They've got it for a song. Like,
yeah.
All things considered, what you're going to get out of that, it's a great deal. And then reach out to us, obviously, because we will want to play Dreadball with you.
Yes.
But so no, the store is really receptive and open. I think it's another one of those, like, if we can really demonstrate that people are here, people would buy merch. They've got a decent, it looks like they have 40K players, Legion. There was a Blood Bowl game that was actually going while we were setting up there.
Yeah, I guess it was a Blood Bowl League.
I think it was a Blood Bowl League. So, you know, it sounds like we've got a variety of players.
And if you looked at, what they had there, they had a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't one of those stores that was full on 40K and, oh, here's this little section of board games. Like, they had a good selection of board games. They had a good selection of card games. They had a good selection of miniature games. They had 40K. And they had paint and supplies. Yep. And yeah, they were a nice, well-rounded store.
Mm-hmm. So we're definitely going to be going back there more often than not. And if you are in that area, reach out and let us know, because we are totally... It's a great midway point for most
for
of us.
For us, yeah.
To get together, so... you know, yeah. Hey there, I'm Brian.
And I'm Rick.
This is Blaine. You are listening to Dead Zone, the podcast. Keep listening for more excellent material from these two amazing men. Blaine out.
So you're talking about Kings of War, and sorry, I kind of blinked the whole time you were talking, because all I can think of is the fact that we're going to have a Detroit and Lansing.
Yeah.
Dead Zone community. We're going to have a...
I think it'd be really fun.
A club battle.
Yeah, totally. I still would love them to be part of the MMC.
Yes.
But it would be kind of fun to have a sub-faction, if you will, of the MMC. The South Side.
A team tournament Dead Zone?
On four mats?
Well, no, you would do it as... You do it individual games.
Oh, okay, yeah.
As a team score.
Gotcha.
Ooh.
Ooh.
That could be fun. Every time we record.
I hope someone takes notes on this thing. Maybe I should be doing that.
I say, don't you have notes?
I sometimes take notes. So team
score, tournament.
Yeah, team tourney, Dead Zone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, why not?
This is how this show works.
Yeah. Well, because they, so actually, I mean, if you think about it, so we have a Detroit group.
Yep.
We have a Lansing group.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a Mount Pleasant group.
We do have a Mount Pleasant group.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's three teams.
Ooh.
So we just need, like, Mike Carter to bring up a team.
Yeah.
or John Carter.
The away team. It'll be, we'll call them the Clash of King Buckeyes. I don't know.
Or we just call them the red shirts.
That works too. But no, so it was kind of funny because I'm on another podcast show, Mobile Armor Radio, and one of the fun things about the last episode we recorded was our good friend of the show, Community Pat,
who you
may hear on the commercial breaks of this show, was kind of mentioning how tricky it is sometimes to get new players, just to like
just
it's tough sometimes to get out there and get gaming with new people, and I'm like, well, Pat, like, I've got this new guy that lives right down the street, and I've got these demo games coming
up. I just moved. It was that easy.
Just gotta move to Michigan, Pat, is what we're saying. That would be so much fun.
Oh God.
But
Pat and Coach and Rob and Jack, have everybody, and Jeff, to have them all move to Michigan.
But, you know, that might be a little too greedy for us. It's good to have the Dead Zone, you know, Mantic
across the game, country.
Across the country. Because that, I was immediately jumping to, like, you know, John Jack and Shane and... And, you know, Mr. Shoemaker and, you know, just get everybody.
Get them all.
Just get them all.
Everybody can move to Michigan.
Yeah. If you want to. We won't say no. Well, Rick might say no. I will welcome you with open arms to the area. But no, so yeah, doing Dead Zone demos and getting some other gaming in has been really fun. It's a little bit of change of pace because it's been, you know, with
it's been a year and a half.
It's been a long time since we've kind of got to do demos and go out to shops and stuff. The unfortunately for me, the ones that are, you know, literally 10, 15 minutes away in either direction are both close to in-store gaming.
Yes.
Which is unfortunate, but as soon as
they open up. It's understandable.
Yeah. It's they're bound to open up soon.
Yep.
At some point. And I'm looking forward to, you know, I've chatted with, not the owners, but, you know, people at both stores about doing demos, and everyone's open to it.
Sweet.
They do have, both of them do have Mantic products. Okay. They got Armada.
Yeah.
Is the big one. But I did, when I was at, RIW Hobbies, they had a copy of second edition book for Dead Zone. And third edition Kings of War. So,
well, there you go.
Yeah, I'm definitely open and willing to get some games in at those places as soon as we can. It was interesting too. So one of the guys that I now game with, the one that lives close to me, he found some folks on Reddit. Has been one of his spaces.
Okay.
That because he's not on Facebook.
Yeah.
Which is why we're doing all the communication via text. But Reddit seems like he got in touch with a guy through that, and we went and gamed some Kings of War a couple weeks back. So it's another venue that's
all right.
It's been a while. I don't go on Reddit very often.
Sure.
But there is like a dedicated like Mantic space, and I'm guessing Kings of War has one. I think Dead Zone has their own Reddit thread.
Subreddit.
So definitely just, you know, go subscribe to those.
It is funny the different types. So like we all got started in this and it was Facebook.
Yeah.
That was where the communication was constantly. And then Discord started popping in there.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a Discord channel that, of course, we obviously use a ton of Family of Gamer 777's Discord. But Dead Zone the Podcast has a Discord as well.
Yep. Beetle, it's great to hear from you, buddy.
Yep. And there's been a couple other people that are actually starting to jump in there. But then you have that whole community, but then you jump over and, like you just said, Reddit. Mm-hmm. It's a whole nother volume. We actually have a TikTok.
Yeah.
A Dead Zone the Podcast TikTok. We almost have 700 followers. Just so you know.
And you posted like one video on it, right?
No.
You've done a couple.
I've done a couple. So one of the YouTube videos that Michael and I shot of us playing the intro game.
Yeah.
I took a 30-second clip of that and posted it. It's got like 600 views. And I'm like, all right.
See, listeners, one thing you don't know about Rick is that he hates social media.
I do. But, I actually hate social media.
But he's so good at it.
All right.
You posted a 30-second video about you playing a tabletop game, and you got 700 followers or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous.
We're not calling TikTok people ridiculous.
No, he's calling me ridiculous.
I'm calling Rick ridiculous.
This is valid. Okay, no commercial. So, yeah, so we have 683 followers. Yeah, the last video I posted has 711 likes.
Likes?
Yeah. Yeah, the views and likes and comments and, yeah.
He's trying very hard to be humble about
this. That game's got 353. That one's got 233.
And we don't even have music to them. Like, really catchy, short.
Oh, no. Some of them do. I put music to a few things. I threw my Asterians up there.
Oh, okay.
With, what song did I do? Terminator. No, Transformers. I'm showing him the video right now, just because I could.
Listeners, he just showed me a video on his phone.
And that's got like 256 likes. Not views, likes. And I'm like, okay.
So is that a hashtagging thing? Like, Or is it like, I'm just kind of curious how you just...
hashtags.
Okay.
So you just post. You can do anywhere from like 10-second to 30-second videos.
Sure.
Once you get to 1,000 followers, you can do live video.
Okay. He's got that crazy look in his eye.
But I hate social media. And when you post the video, you have the option of adding music to it.
Okay, so they built it in.
Yeah, it's built into the software for it. And then you can do ads and hashtags.
Gotcha.
So, yeah. Obviously, I've tagged as much 40K stuff as I possibly can to show them non-40K.
Yeah.
Because, well, yeah, it is. And there's actually a huge 3D printing community on TikTok.
Oh, neat.
Like, it's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
It's one of those things where I'm finding... I've seen people now, because of TikTok, do enclosures for their 3D printer.
Okay.
With those little floor mats. That kind of puzzle piece together.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
like,
yeah.
That I actually have over there on the floor. That they do the enclosure like that when they do a print, and it keeps all the heat inside of it.
Oh.
I was like, huh. That's a thing. Like, I've seen enclosures for printers.
Yeah.
But, like, it never crossed my mind to do that. I was like, all right, that's kind of cool.
The more you know.
Like, yeah. And from TikTok, of all places. And my daughter, it drives her nuts. It absolutely drives my 15-year-old daughter nuts that I have that many followers on TikTok. I'm like, I'm not doing anything.
And now I'm thinking of Crazy Bobby having a TikTok.
Crazy Bobby on a TikTok. Oh, that would be perfect. Rob, make it happen. Talk
Rob,
to your buddy.
Talk to Crazy Bob and see if he's
get him out of Detroit and get him to do a TikTok.
Yeah.
That would be great.
I mean, Mantic has really stepped up their marketing game.
Yes.
Like, with the video editing that they did for their release. All the videos that they've posted recently talking about how to play the game has been great content. That was something that people are often asking about. It's like, you know...
What's the content? Yeah, what's the...
Where can I go to learn how to play this game?
Yep.
Because some people don't learn by reading.
No.
And to do... You know, a lot of people learn by doing... If you don't have that, because you can't do the reading part,
you need a visual aid.
The visual aid definitely helps, and
yeah, they helped a ton.
Yeah, and you know they've got nice soothing voices as well.
Oh yeah, totally.
So now Crazy Bobby's gonna do one of those ASMR. Right? So, Rob, make that happen too, I guess, if you want.
Convince him to do it. Speaking of content that come out, Tyler has been putting out some more videos.
Yes, and I do apologize for misspelling your name at first, Tyler. In my day job, I work, there's a Schultz and it has a T. I have corrected this in the episode.
Fixed and fixed.
Yes.
But he's released new content. Their family at Gamer777 has released a couple new lore.
And the team building exercises.
Team building. I just started watching that actually today. On my lunch, I started watching it.
Nice.
I
think the Enforcer one just dropped today.
Yes.
As of this recording.
And I'm halfway through Jack's list, so I haven't gotten to Coach and Rob yet. But no, Rob, nobody listens to it.
But no, that's also great content if you're. Unfamiliar with the channel, Family Gamer 777. They're on YouTube and like we said earlier, Discord. Great content. Huge fans of Dead Zone. Really excellent players and excellent people.
Yep.
Go check out their content. It's always good stuff. they're listed in the show notes. I think every episode I got them listed below. So.
And rightly so.
They deserve it. But
of course, it's fun to see Rob and Jack. Back in the Dead Zone world with the team building exercise.
Yeah.
It is funny to watch them on video because, like, as you do when you're listening to a podcast, you kind of sometimes picture.
Yeah, yeah.
You mentally just randomly picture what these two people would look like, talk, sound like, what they're doing while they're recording.
Both Rick and I have glasses.
Yeah.
Rick has no hair on the top of his head, but has a full beard. I, on the other hand...
Well, I have a goatee, not a beard.
You have a goatee.
There's a difference. My wife won't let me grow it here.
I have hair on my head, but not much of a beard. And
it's a thing.
That's just genetics.
Well, you know.
But yeah, so to give the listeners an idea of what we look like.
Well, yeah, there's that. I mean, you could also go to all the pictures on Facebook.
I mean, we're also on Facebook. I was talking about.
But yeah, you're listening to something, you picture what they look like while they're having these discussions. So you go back to the older seasons 1 through 4 of the team building episodes that are on Dead's on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just listening to them. So this new direction that they're taking, they're on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
So you actually get to watch them talking to each other. It's kind of amusing.
Yeah.
Especially when the jabs and then, like, you can see Coach kind of roll his eyes sometimes as Rob and Jack start going at it in off the rails kind of comments.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, yeah. And then, like, on today's, just the first part of it, Rob's like, yeah, that's why you never heard this stuff on the podcast, because we edited it out. And Jack. Jack, because, you know, we were outside and...
Yeah.
Pumpkin Jack and we... John Jack and...
Dreadball Jacks.
Wow.
Got a lot of Jacks.
A lot of Jacks. But Jack takes his paper and covers half his face. And Coach is like...
Yeah, good stuff.
So but, that was fun.
But yeah,
speaking of going off on the rails.
Yeah, yeah. But no, you're absolutely right. Like the there is a lot of content coming up around the game in general. I need to track down. There's a couple other YouTube channels that I'm subscribed to that like one guy has done a deep dive into like the lore of each faction, which is great content. And I'm going to see if I can
find that right now.
Find that right now. Well,
we don't
talking.
Do that post thing.
No. I got to do it live. That's how I roll. Yeah. So Tabletop Transformer on YouTube, has got some great, Dead Zone content. He's been talking about Dead Zone 3rd Edition. He did some Star Saga stuff in the past as well, where he reviewed each of the expansions, and the character creator did a little walkthrough of how to make a Star Saga character. And then he's been starting up his Dead Zone 3rd Edition stuff. As of two weeks ago, he did the Astarians. He did the Enforcers about 2 weeks ago, or just short of that. And then he's been working on the Forge Fathers were next. So I'll be linking his show in the show notes here. Cool. Really, really fun stuff. And I'm thinking, yeah, he's also, he's actually did a whole mess of stuff on Kings of War as well. With Vanguard and all the different factions, he's done like individual reviews of them, which is how I stumbled on his channel.
Which is perfect.
So yeah, definitely check out his content. It's really fun stuff, very insightful, and a really neat guy. So.
Hey, it's Community Pat, and you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast 2.0 with Rick and Brian.
Rick and Brian? What happened to the other two yahoos? Why are you wasting my time with these guys? I don't even know who these guys are. Dead Zone 2.0, this is stupid.
But yeah, so like, the people are getting behind it, and that's also been obviously one of the fun the things we get most like enjoyment out of is watching people on like the Facebook group talking about, I'm getting into this game. What do I need? A lot of...
What should I build with this? What should I do? Yeah.
I have first edition stuff that I haven't played with yet. What do I need for third edition? Because this game Looks pretty good now.
Somebody picking up the Mega Army thing for GCPS going, oh, looks like I'm in.
Looks like I'm in. Yep. So that's always so like refreshing and wonderful to see, is the community really kind of coming out and saying, hey, we're getting into this game.
The last few days when I pull up my Facebook and I start flipping through, I think every fifth post is Dead Zone.
Yeah.
From some random person, from Mantic, from one of us, from Family of Gamers, from Tyler, from your group in Singapore.
Yeah.
Like, all this stuff just keeps popping. Like, every fifth one, Dead Zone. Dead Zone. Dead Zone. And then, of course, just recently, Mike Carter posted a little blurb about Overdrive.
Yeah.
Of getting into that and using the giant models from Dreadball in their own game with no ball. So just rough people up, which we still need to break down, and hopefully after the new year and all the craziness of December gets out of the way, we can get down on the table with some Overdrive and see how that one plays out for us.
That would be pretty sweet, getting more into a as much of a routine as possible, of like a weekend day where it's, you know, at a game shop or something like that, where we just bring out a bunch of the games and we play them for the afternoon. And
well, I mean, and we do have a game shop that's between us.
True. Very true. And they are very nice guys.
Yeah.
As mentioned before, Upkeep Games in Howell, Michigan. But no, and speaking of Overdrive, I did some unboxing videos.
Yes, you did.
I don't know if they're any good. We'll see if I get as many followers as you do. On our YouTube channel. But, I got myself the GCPS.
Yep.
What you call it? They all have names now. The Urban Pacification Booster, which comes with the new TAC drone models.
And GCPS with shields.
And the Riot Troopers.
Yep.
Which I'm pretty geeked to get put together. It's tabled right now, unfortunately. Because I'm still working on holiday presents and painting.
Yep.
I've done a whole mess of gifts for people with my printer and everything.
That's awesome.
Like that. Did the, I'm sure we'll circle back to it. We got the Pathfinder Secret Santa.
Yeah, did you get yours out?
It's not mailed out. I have it all painted. But I'm going to get it out soon, Tyler, or...
Taylor. I sent Taylor a message and I was like, hey, I'm going to be a few days past the first.
Yeah. Usually he likes to get them out by...
He does. He likes... He's very concise on this. It's been interesting because... So the whole challenge was you have to include these three colors.
Mm-hmm.
I took it the other route.
You did the opposite of those colors?
No. I'm only using those three colors with black and white.
See, I thought that was actually the intent behind it as well.
Perfect.
So that's what I did.
And it's been... And
this episode will air after the holidays are wrapped up, so we could talk about them now.
That's true.
If we want to. So it was actually... So for mine, a little spoiler for...
Oh, yeah.
Somebody...
We're safe because this episode isn't going to come out until the end of the month. So we're good.
So I had... Brian Wade, good fellow Pathfinder, huge into...
Well, I'd hope he's a Pathfinder, considering this is a Pathfinder Secret Santa.
I mean, weird things have happened.
That's true.
But Brian is really, really nice guy. He often runs the Walking Dead
stuff at conventions.
Yeah. And, you know, really swell. And so, but he also, you know, dapples in the other games.
A little of everything.
Yeah, and so I was like, all right, so my colors were dark blue, red, and orange.
I'm a little jealous.
So
just saying, I'm a little jealous.
and you know, I kind of went back and forth on what exactly I had and what I was going to paint. And it's like, I got a whole bunch of Dreadball teams, many of which are duplicates. So I was like, okay, the Nameless... I think, fit that bill really well. They, with their kind of more aquatic things, yeah, like those kind of colors, you actually
work
see
out really well. Yeah.
Granted, when I actually did the painting part of them, I'm still working on technique, you might say. So if a lot of things just got slashed with null and oil by the end of it, that's why. but you know, it to, yeah, to that point, it is a really good challenge where it's like, okay, I've got a limited palette, and you know, what combinations, like, how do I want to work them against one another?
So did you stick with just those three colors, or did you mix them to get other colors?
I just went with those three colors.
Oh, okay.
And then with white was my only other
sure
one. With the asterisk, because they were Dreadball minis, I did do the green and red in this,
yeah,
case, tiling
for the base. Sure.
For the base.
Totally makes sense.
Just to differentiate the different types of players, mostly guards and strikers.
Well, yeah, that makes it easy.
Yeah, yeah. But no, it was really fun. It was something different. I haven't painted Nameless before, so that
nice,
was
so perfect.
It was a good exercise, because I've been trying to figure out what a good color scheme for Nameless would be for the painting that I like to do.
Yeah, definitely.
Which is in a lot of cases is a themed list of some
themed off of something.
Yeah. I think it came together pretty well, and I included the team captain with it.
Right on.
So it was about nine minis all told. So I'm going to get those thrown into a clamshell case and mailed out here.
Mailed out, yeah.
What do you
have? As of recording...
Yeah.
Taylor will have these out by the end of the week, I promise. So, I got John Jack.
Oh, nice.
So, I'm down here looking at all my minis and all the different things. And, of course, while I'm down here, I'm flipping through Facebook, and somebody posts a battle rep picture playing against the Rebs.
Who could that be?
And then I see, woohoo, go Rebs, followed by Elite or whatever it is that John Jack spells. And I was like,
oh,
you know what?
Resist for life.
Resist for life. And I was like, screw it. I'm going to paint a second set of Rebs.
Okay.
So I grabbed about 100 points. Territon and the Leader and
yeah,
a couple of the random ones that you don't really see on the boards a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when you play, you see everything. So,
yeah, when you play against me, I really mix
you
and match.
You play everything.
Yeah.
So I painted up some Rebs. I had maroon. No, sorry, mahogany.
Mahogany.
Yellow. And green.
Green.
So.
Mahogany.
Green Bay Packers, essentially.
go Pack Go.
Yeah.
Taylor.
It was tough, because I did some skin colors.
Oh, okay.
And all I did was mix out of those three colors.
Okay.
So it was very interesting. So I never really do a lot of mixing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, that's what the paint bottle is. That's the color,
yeah,
I need.
Yeah.
I need this color, so I go find that paint bottle. So it was interesting. And a big challenge for me is to figure out color schemes and how does the mahogany match with green, with yellow? How do I get this? And so I didn't use the white and black for those mixes.
Sure.
It was just those colors with those mixes.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I used the black and white on a few, like the belt packs and stuff like
sure
that. That's what I did in black.
Little highlight
and like
touches.
The dot on the eye and stuff I did in white just to get that pop.
Yeah, yeah.
There. But outside, I kept it at those colors. So I did limit it to just the minimum five models. But we have 3D printers. So I kind of did an isolation protocols canister.
Okay.
The shipping crates. And took some Star Saga scenery and made a little base inside of it. For his Rebs.
That's pretty great.
Yeah. So that's what I was working on for John Jack. I hope he likes it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he
will. This is as close as you guys will ever get to seeing me play Rebs. Is painting,
yeah,
Rebs for
painting
somebody
Rebs
else.
Rebs for somebody else to play. Yeah, yeah.
Or tear them apart for my plague.
Or tear them apart for your plague.
Or now Maison Labs.
Or now Maison Labs.
Because, So we always talk about what faction we're going with, what we're doing. Is it? The more I've looked at things, the more I've played, I'm totally going Maison Labs all year.
Yeah, yeah.
Between what I've started to build on the table with an interior design Dead Zone table,
mm-hmm.
it's a hospital. It's that secret lab. And just the whole world of Maison Labs, creating mutants, cyborgs, they still have some of my favorite models because they have Subject 901. They have the Aberration. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to be playing a lot of Maison Labs this year. even though, yes, I do have GCPS sitting here.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have the new
Forge Fathers. The Artificers.
The Artificers, I had to pick up.
Rick is showing me boxes.
So, as of the recording, so it's probably been only in the last week that these have started to hit retail.
Mm-hmm.
I know somebody posted that they just got theirs and if it was released in the U.S. Yep. I got mine at the end of last week.
Okay. So,
the end of November, I actually got my Artificers. So, they are out in the wild and they look gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
I believe he's all resin.
I think so. I was just hefting the
Artificer,
the Juggernaut.
Yeah, the Juggernaut.
And I was like, yo, that you kind of look at that model and you're kind of like, man, I'm expecting a little.
Well, let's have some fun.
Heft to this. So in this unboxing episode of Dead Zone the podcast, audio only.
Audio only, but we're gonna open up.
We're gonna open up
the Forge Father Artificer Juggernaut. Because why not?
Why not? If you'd like us to unbox more things on the recorded show, send us
some messages. What are they doing? I can hear a box opening.
Yeah, shuffle.
Yep, it's all resin just by seeing.
Lots of bubble wrap.
Yeah, that's one of the things with the Mantic models, with all of their resin models, no matter what their packaging, it always comes in bubble wrap.
I see a disc for the base. That's always a good sign. Is that a 60 millimeter?
Sure is. Oh, boy.
What you're hearing is a bunch of resin hitting a cardboard box.
Oh, boy.
That is a...
Oh, look at that detail.
Big. Is that the torso?
I think so.
Those are the
stonky... Because there's a leg.
Stonky legs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it looks like we actually...
How's that for a drill bit going into a Veerman?
Yeah. I still want to do... So one of the ones I wanted to do for the longest time is for Forge Fathers to do Gurren Lagann. Which, for those that are unfamiliar, is this anime where there's a kind of a stonky little robot that has a big face in the middle of it, and he has drills for arms. It's a pretty rad show. Like, it's cranked up to 11, to be sure.
Oh, God, that looks sweet.
Ooh, are those multiple heads?
No, it's one head and it's his arms.
Okay. So there's a little pilot and the Juggernaut.
A little pilot.
And then there's a backpack to go for the...
Yeah.
It's a stonky boy. Like, he's chunky.
Yeah, he's definitely chunky.
Thick with 2Ks or whatever it is.
Laser. So this is that mining drill.
That's the mining drill.
Yeah.
That'll hurt.
The drill bit.
That's a flamethrower. Yep. I need to look at what he can all take, because that's a forge hammer, then.
Is that the forge hammer?
Yeah.
Yep, that sure is. Forge hammer, flamethrower, drill, and mining laser.
I always feel like the forge hammers kind of look funny just because they have those circles
on the inside of them. Yeah.
As opposed to just being a flat hammer. But,
eh. Well, yeah, a little weird, but...
I'm sure those are heated.
It's a nice, yeah. Like, heated on the inside.
Because they do have armor piercing. And this is... I know they talked even about the design of making it fairly magnet-friendly.
Yeah.
So that you can swap out the arms of this thing.
Yeah, it's so, as shown. And so those are the options.
Mm-hmm.
So you have the forge hammer, the laser, the mining laser, the drill, and the flamethrower.
Yeah. So, neat, cool. Nice little kit.
I mean, we might as well keep going, right?
Yeah, we're only at like 45 minutes.
Oh, whatever. So the other thing that I picked up with him is the actually Forge Father Artificer booster, which has four models.
Okay.
Um,
Rick is now using a knife, a utility knife to open up.
Utility knife, because I don't know where my hobby knife is. I know. It's upstairs.
He's ripping the plastic wrapper. He's crinkling it up to the microphone.
Oh, boy. Somebody might think that we need help sometime.
We have fun on this show. It's been a long year.
No, don't rip the box.
No, not the box. Still like those mantic points?
Oh, yeah.
We have so many mantic points.
Okay, okay. So, this is fully resin.
Okay. Fully resin? Okay.
Yep.
It's kind of interesting, like, when I did the Urban Pacification GCPS kit, like, it's a lot of resin pieces that go onto the sprue bodies and legs and stuff.
Oh, yeah. This is Octopus, dude.
Dr. Octagotopus.
Ah. Oh, check that guy out.
As featured in
the new Spider-Man. I love how they all have mohawks. Well, okay, a couple of them have mohawks.
He just pops out and goes, "Hi, Peter." He does look like
Double Doctor Blasters.
Pew pew.
Oh, yeah.
I do really like the, like, one thematic thing I do like, one of the new features is the I guess it's not a new rule, the companion rule.
Yes.
And that's how they work in the whole thing about these guys having three arms.
Yep.
It's not a fire control thing. It's you get an extra arm in melee.
Yep.
Which I think is just a fun little clever way to do
it. So the artificers, so the whole set is all resin.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have a lot of the extras that you would get with hard plastic.
Yeah.
But still, it's lovely. I'm going to definitely have to do an artificer list.
And TikTok.
build these guys up. And apparently throw them on TikTok. Because
as you put it together.
Boom. So I haven't done that on TikTok yet, where I take a couple different videos and link them together.
Yeah.
And put music. I haven't gone that far
yet.
You're
not there yet. Not yet. Yet. That's the keyword. It's coming. We all know.
Yet always gets me.
Yeah. But no, those are some nice minis. Those are gorgeous.
John Jack here from Dreadball Commercials. You've seen me. You love me. You know you want me. Here you're listening to Dead Zone, the podcast with Rick and Brian. Don't turn that dial or I'm coming for you.
And yeah, Forge Fathers have a lot of good stuff going for them.
Yeah.
That was a really solid update that they got. And the GCPS.
Like, so it's the GCPS, the Forge Fathers, and the Veerman.
And the Veerman got some new stuff.
Because the Veerman got the new leader out of the two-player starter.
Mm-hmm.
And they were released with a couple new, what are they called?
The guards?
Yeah, the Veerman guards.
Yeah, the big boys.
Yeah. So they got some new models too. So they're kind of bringing out a little bit here and there. And then, of course, you have the Overdrive characters that have stats for Dreadball.
Yeah.
Tiger Axe and
Shadow. I remember this time.
You remember?
Not because I had to look it up, but because of that, too. But no, the Veerman have a new Overdrive mini as well.
So that is coming out, is it this month?
I think so. It was.
Is it up on pre-order yet?
We're checking out now.
Check it out.
What's it all about? So the Gnaw and Alpha Simian rival pack.
So the Alpha Simian is already in Dreadball.
Available on back order.
Yeah, which means essentially
pre-order. It'll start shipping December 6th. So
next, that's like
less than a week from now.
Less than a week from day of recording.
So it's a resin Gnaw, which is a pretty wicked looking Veerman model.
It really is.
He's like all crushed down and he's got a long tail kind of lashing out. And the Alpha Simian is looking pretty boss. I think he's still PVC. So same mini as before.
Same mini.
Which is I mean, those are nice minis.
Yeah.
So nothing wrong there, but it's great to see like the Overdrive stuff coming out too. And seeing that game get some more love and, and you just know that that's going to be making its way back into Dreadball and with it being a lot of crossover with Dead Zone as well is pretty sweet. Rick's staring quizzically at his phone. He's got it's easy sort of kinda, on me.
Yeah, I've been kind of like this just caught me off guard because I mean I've been dealing with some that I've been working with like Mesa Labs mostly.
Yeah.
But do you know the Malignus Claw Shot for the Veerman?
I know of it.
It's a Veerman that has a Defender Shield.
Oh no.
Yeah, it has a Defender Shield and a long rifle with a hollow sight.
Oh no. I thought they'd gotten rid of long rifles, huh? It's interesting.
It's still... Range 8, AP1, heavy with hollow sight, and it's 16 points, and it's a troop.
So it's a big sniper rifle.
Yeah, it's a mini sniper rifle, essentially.
Yeah.
But
okay, so it doesn't have
the sniper. Yeah, so it doesn't have sniper, so it has hollow sight, which means it gets the +1 dice.
Right.
But it doesn't have the sniper ability where you can shoot it as a short action.
Right.
As a regular weapon and a long action, take the 2 extra dice. So all it's getting is that extra dice.
Okay.
And it's heavy. And it shoots on a 5, so very typical Veerman
shooting. Isn't that the, that's one of the Kings of War models, isn't
yeah,
it?
It yeah, it is.
That's kind of funny.
Oh man, now I want to make it. Every single time I pull up Easy Army, I end up like going, "Oh wait, I want to make a list out of this now."
I mean that speaks a lot to like
but we only have so much time.
We only have so much time.
That's not true. We have plenty of time.
We have plenty of time as we come up on an hour of recording. Thank you guys for listening. So, yeah, time flies.
It does.
But no, it just kind of speaks to like there's so much creativity in each of these factions. Like they all kind of draw you in. It's like
there's
some cool stuff over here. And I meant to mention it before for like the Riot Troopers, like those models are really cool, considering that they basically are just building off of the regular GCPS body. And I've got my paint scheme all kind of planned out for them as some Gundam gyms. So that should be a fun time. As Rick continues to calculate.
Sidetracked. Easy Army does it every time, man.
So
I pull up Easy Army. And I will completely, everything around me kind of goes away. And I'm just like, ooh.
Yeah. It's addictive.
Phone put away.
For now. We'll come back to your phone.
Because I got to see what all I need to do for the Artificers to make it a 200 point list.
Gotcha. Okay.
So speaking of points, before we disappear, do you think 175 is still going to be our favorite point level?
You know?
Because I've now played... Third edition at 100 points, 150, and 200.
Mm-hmm. I think I've done 100 and 150.
So you definitely need to get a 200 point game in.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to wrap back around to our 175 point. Because obviously in second edition, we loved 175.
Yeah, 175 was a good sweet spot. But a lot has changed.
Points have changed.
Points.
What all you can take.
The types of units.
Yeah.
I think where there is a lot more of shift from specialist to troop for a lot of things. And I think that will really adjust
change
the meta.
Change that 200, yeah. And the meta is definitely a big... There's some stuff out there that people just won't take anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. But Mantic's always been kind of good about like identifying what that is and going... Well, what if we...
And we get an FAQ after a few tournaments.
Yeah.
A few big tournaments. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we get an FAQ for 3rd edition, either just before Adeptcon or right after Adepticon.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I'm sure the rules committee will be watching, because there's some bigger tournaments over in the UK coming
mm-hmm.
For Dead Zone. And we'll start to see in the actual play world, in tournament setting, what this faction does, and what people start taking. So
yeah.
It'll be fun to see that around the corner, too.
Yeah. And speaking of tangents, because I wanted to circle back. So you really glossed over that you have this, like, medical lab mats set up in front of me.
I do.
So tell the players what you've got in front of us.
Okay, so...
The players, the listeners.
The players, the listeners.
They're obviously going to play.
Yeah. So I played... So I played that game and I posted it on YouTube of Michael and I playing on the Alien.
It wasn't board the Nostromo. Was it?
It was. It's it was the Nostromo because the board game is Alien.
Gotcha. It's it was the first Alien game. Board game. Or first movie.
Yeah, and we were looking at it and it was like, well, that'd be kind of fun to do. So we tried it. And it made me realize that you can totally play inside. But this wraps around to Daria.
Yeah.
Daria talked about that whole combining Star Saga and Dead Zone and having this interior world.
Yeah.
And changing the rules a little bit, tweaking them here and there. And as I'm looking at a Dead Zone board, I'm like, really? We can make a big lab.
Yeah.
So, I took a whole bunch of my scenery.
as we often do.
Yeah, and started laying it out. And, of course, just laying out the scenery, you kind of get that paintball effect.
Yeah.
Playing paintball, so it's just walls blocking line of sight. Yeah. So I grabbed a whole bunch of the Star Saga scenery. The computers and the weapons.
And the desks and stuff.
And everything, and I just started laying them down, and so I built it kind of like, actually what I did was I went on Google and did a whole bunch of research on hospital layouts.
Yeah.
And I found a couple different that had, like, that room in the middle that was bigger than, like, the waiting area kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And how it was wrapped around, and there was little rooms here and there, and, of course, the exam rooms and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of built that with that in mind, to the point where there's actually, even on one far corner, is kind of like the whole idea of a janitor's closet. Will anybody ever go there? Maybe.
Who knows? There could be an objective in there.
That's true. But then I did the center room with the bigger, but I used the vats from Star Saga as the centerpieces in that room. And some of the wall pieces, I actually used some of the legging that you would put two walls together.
Yeah.
When you're building a large building or a large wall.
Those little foot pieces.
Yeah, the foot things. Or the ones that I cut some of the ones that you would put on the inside.
Oh, okay.
To lay those on the outside to help block line of sight.
Yeah.
So you don't have... Like, there's not... I mean, when you're looking at it, realistically, there's not a ton of spots that are completely clear line of sight.
Right.
There are little hallways that are one or two cubes.
Mm-hmm.
Which, it's got to have that inside look. So the plan is to get it all painted. Once it's all painted, I'm going to set it back up. I'm really tempted to grab... one of those Lazy Susan.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And put this on a board that stays.
Somebody posted...
Over on Facebook, I saw it. I'm like, oh my god, that'd be perfect for this.
So for those unfamiliar with what a Lazy Susan is, it's basically just a little, like those little corner cabinets. It's
thing that spins.
It spins, basically. So you set this on top and you could spin it to turn it so another player can... It would make Scatter so much easier to play.
Oh, yeah. 100%. But, I mean, with that, there's a new mission in 3rd edition that is perfect for this layout. Because it's an attacker-defender layout where the defenders are in the center of the map and the attackers are on all four corners.
Right.
I think that's going to be a blast, and I'm pretty sure that'll be the first game I play on this.
Mm-hmm.
But this is going to be a while.
Yeah,
this is going to be one of those projects that's going to take a while because I want to have it all painted and actually done before I play on it.
Sure, sure.
And I'm also trying to decide if I'm going to do outside walls.
Yeah.
So it completely blocks it in. I might print some isolation protocol walls just to line that up and have that done.
It'd be kind of neat to, not to add to this project, But if you made it a multi-map where there was an exterior...
And interior.
And an interior, and you just make a nice big wall that's like three high or something to represent the wall of the building, and then that way... Because one thing with it we were chatting earlier is that you kind of are keeping it as a one level with a ceiling.
Yes, it is one level with a ceiling. So the only real adjustments to play style is you won't have aerial deployment.
Aerial deployment, and you can't jump over the wall.
Yep, there's no jumping over walls because it's
through windows and everything like that.
Windows, you can go through that. And that's why some of the rooms actually have the windows and stuff specifically for that.
And then it was indirect was like kind of...
Indirect is...
A little tweak.
A little tweak to it because you actually can't go up.
Right.
So you literally can only shoot indirect down the hallways. So it kind of takes out that I can't see the cube part of indirect. But I mean, it's a hospital.
Yeah. I mean, if you shot
outside of Marauders. Outside of Marauders because they're kind of crazy. I mean, they're super intelligent, but they're also crazy because, well, they're goblins. They're the only ones I can see running a gun track into a hospital.
Yeah.
And I can totally see Rob's goblins running into a hospital with a gun track.
But I can see in some kind of crazy John Woo sci-fi movie, the GCPS rolling in with their mortar and then just tipping it sideways to fire down.
And grab it and say, uh-uh.
So, Golden the Gamer, let us know. You're familiar with mortars. Does that work? but yeah, so I'm pretty stoked. I love how this is shaping up.
Actually, this is the first time I actually physically got to see
it. Yeah, I haven't been able to see it before.
And it's kind of surprising, like, it looks...
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. Like, the Dead Zone wall scenery, like, could work easily as interior walls that you just section off. You don't have to put the roof piece on.
Yep.
No, I dig it, and I think that would be a lot of fun.
It is. I'm going to have a lot of fun with that one. But yeah. Wow, so where do we go?
We're at like an hour and five.
That's about where we get. And then add in the commercials.
Add in the commercials. Because they barely take anything out. So.
I know.
It's funny hearing about Robin and Jack having to edit stuff out, and I'm like...
Well, Jeff and I for the Michigan GT podcast.
Yeah.
We do the same thing we do. We don't really edit much at all.
Yeah.
Obviously he has definitely a different setup than we do.
Sure.
He has that full mixing board that has all the mics. That Bluetooth. So when we had you on there, you were Bluetoothed into the headset.
Oh, neato.
Yeah. So we got our headsets on and our mics in front of us both. And we're not doing this.
Where we got one microphone between the two of us.
Yeah,
and
no headsets for us, but yeah.
We'll just
headphones.
Figure it out if it sounds all right afterwards.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fix it in post is what I'm saying.
Well, there's a lot for you. I just go enjoy the ride and wait until you say, hey, it's in the pilot.
No, what's fun, though, is that we're recording this at the very beginning of the month.
Yeah, we don't usually do that.
It'll be like the 11th hour. Of the last day that I'll actually edit the episode out.
It's going to be, hey, how was your Christmas? Good. Did this. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I need to get the post up. Wait, you haven't edited it yet?
No.
Maybe.
Thankfully, it's not too bad. And but no, we have fun here.
Well, yeah.
And always coming up with new crazy ideas.
The worst part, the best part is, usually we don't come up with the crazy ideas and like plan it all out before we get on the podcast.
No.
It just happens.
This is an incredibly spontaneous.
Like, so, did you take any notes that specific things that you wanted to talk about tonight?
Oh, no.
Like, I didn't think so.
I had a blank slate coming in. Like, I figured we were going to talk about the demos. And you know, stuff that's literally in front of me right now. But yeah, apart from that, I didn't come with anything prepared. Apart from the mic. I did make sure I brought the microphone. As he gets sucked into Easy Army again.
Well, I'm trying to
figure out. So just, you know, during these holidays, you know, as you're spending time with, you know, your friends, your family, your significant others, just make sure you turn to them every now and then and say, Dead Zone the podcast said it was okay if I just bury my face in Mantic's Easy Army app. And completely ignore. Tell it to your boss. You know, tell it to you.
That's no problem because we have a listener that I am their boss. That's not fair.
No,
that's like all kinds of trouble.
Yeah.
So let's go with that one and add the
buzzsaw. Rick just added the buzzsaw to the.
I did. So,
but no, it's 2021 has been a very interesting year. A lot of stuff has happened. A lot of good stuff has happened, though. Honestly, like it's been rough at times.
It's been a great.
But and
I've had fun.
I've had fun too. In the Mantic, you know, sphere that we often find ourselves, we had a lot of
the first great, sphere.
Exciting.
Mantic is the first sphere.
It is. So is second sphere just immediately outside of England?
No, second sphere is the U.S.
Okay, where's second
sphere? Because that's where Family of Gamer 777 is. That's where that's Dread Pass Zone is. That's where Dead Zone the podcast is. Yeah, that's where Adepticon is. So we're the second sphere.
I don't know with the guys in Singapore really bringing the energy. I dare say that is shaping up to be the third sphere itself.
So there we go. How we ended up going, it happens.
Analogies are fun. at the same time, it's also been a long year. So as always, we kind of end on a very crazy note.
Is that what they call this? A crazy note?
A little bit.
But no. We just start rambling and sometimes get a little bit quieter.
You get a little bit quieter.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for listening. Up. Follow all the social media stuff and apparently TikTok, too.
Yeah, I gotta add that to the list.
Yeah.
But hope you had a safe and wonderful season.
Holiday
season. Yep. Looking forward to 2022.
Hopefully you got some Mantic under that Christmas tree.
And if not... just order more.
Because you're going to need it because Adepticon is 3 months away.
Make up for that lost time.
Come see us at Adepticon,
yes,
too.
Yes, come see us at Adepticon. That's going to be April...
try again. March.
March.
Yeah, end of March.
Adepticon.
I think it's the 27th, 28th.
March 25th through the 29th.
Okay, so I was right in the middle of that.
Yeah, I was not.
You're in April, dude.
it's the tail end of March. I knew
it's the end of March.
So, tail end of March, 25th to the 29th, Adepticon 2022.
Come challenge Brian at Dead Zone.
Yeah, you'll have fun. You'll probably win. But now I have to decide... If you're going on Maison Labs and or Veerman, does that mean I'm doing GCPS and or Rebs?
You've done Rebs for like 4 years, man.
I know.
Retire them. Let John Jack take the woo go Rebs. Yeah, that'll never happen.
I mean, he's welcome to. I will not hold back people from embracing the Rebel Yell.
So what all do you have besides those three? I mean, so you have GCPS, you have Rebs.
Yeah.
You're on lockdown. You have those.
I have those. Like, yeah. I've got pretty much everything I need.
For both of those. You do have some Marauders.
I have some Marauders.
The Marauders have new stuff coming.
I actually have a decent amount of Marauders. I just have only painted... A small amount.
Yeah. You have some Forge Fathers and some Enforcers.
Yes.
Not a ton. Well, I mean, you have an army of Striders, but you use them for the Rebs and GCPS. Which is
the thing. All told, I have four Striders. Five Striders. Sorry. Rick's got a lot more.
Like eight or nine. I don't know. No. I think I'm over that.
because I had the Mega Force 2, which gave me 3 more. So who knows?
But I do have Forge Fathers. I do have Plague.
An okay amount to
play with.
And they got new models coming out too.
Each faction I did try to get at least about 200 points worth. Probably a little more just so I could, there was some flexibility.
But yeah, I was just saying,
I have Maison Labs as well.
That would be weird. Both of us doing the same one.
I mean, I'm saying I have them. I don't really intend to play them apart from the last segment I'll probably mention is, well, we'll go through your, what do you have? So you're just going to do Maison and Veerman? You can't decide yet?
I'm doing Maison Labs.
Okay. You heard it here first, folks, and it'll change by the next time we record.
Probably! As I'm looking at my Artificers.
By the next time he looks at his phone, this answer will have changed.
Just because I started to make a list with a Veerman doesn't necessarily mean I'm playing Veerman.
But
what do you have for Nameless?
Nothing built.
Okay.
Apart from the fact that they're literally like some single piece minis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a bag full of them. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. I think I have enough Nameless.
I've got the Star Saga set.
Oh, yeah. I have enough Nameless for Firefight. For some reason. Yeah. I don't know how I ended up with that many. I do. Yeah. I'm crazy. So, literally, the only faction that I can't play now is Rebs.
Because you're painting them all up and sending them all out.
I do not have enough Rebs left to play.
That's kind of funny.
I have enough Rebs to make another Plague list. I do have enough Rebs to kit bash.
Yeah.
Well,
we'll have to see what the new year, the distant future of 2022.
Who knows what our wives get us for Christmas that's magic.
I don't know. I cannot confirm or deny at this point.
Chances are for me, if I got anything from Mantic for Christmas, which
you've already opened it,
I'm the one that ordered it.
Yeah,
because that's what they do.
Yeah,
they're like, it's gaming stuff. You tell me what you're gonna order.
It's not a bad way to do it.
Oh, okay. So it's on my Amazon wish list, the first thing I did was put. The $500 printer. I'm like, you told me to put it on my wish list. If I want it. It's the, almost 10-inch build plate for a resin printer.
Oh, wow. It's a big one.
Yeah, it's what George has. It's a gorgeous printer. It's big and it's fast.
My printer is struggling again.
Your printer is, like, obnoxious.
It has... moments.
It's got more mood swings than a cat.
Your
printer needs to be named Cat.
It was going great for like 2-3 solid weeks of like daily printing, and then it had like one misprint where it like it didn't stay.
Have you updated your Cura?
Not.
Try that.
Okay. Printers aside, the last thing I did want to make sure we made it into this episode is at the end of December is the last of the writing competition.
Oh, yeah.
And I have to start writing more.
You have to start writing?
I mean, I got like 3 sentences.
Brian, you got a lot of work to do this month.
I got a lot of work to do this month. So the final one for 2021 is going to be wrapping up here at the end of the month.
Yep.
About the release of this episode.
Maybe we'll do a little recap right at the beginning of January. Maybe not a full episode to say, hey, Brian, did you get your story done in December?
I sure hope so. I'm going to be working late on that, I think.
Hey, it's a thing.
But I'm excited, like I think I mentioned before, my goal with this story is to kind of bring things full circle.
Yeah, because you've essentially linked and have this all in the same world.
Yep. So the 3 stories that I've done so far all have a scattering of characters and events in them. And so while not all the characters will show up, I'm hoping to just kind of pull in all these events. So, you know, observant people that have read those other stories might see those links where it kind of all comes together. It is something that I'm excited to kind of keep doing in the future, even if we don't have another writing contest for a while. I know it's a big time sink for a lot of people to yeah. participate in it and to run it. So definitely a big shout out to Golden the Gamer for putting this together and organizing it, and for the Wind Hussars publishers. The Rosbun guys are always excellent. And their support kind of behind this this kind of contest has been great. And just the stories that have come out, like all of the authors are fantastic. And I'd really love to see this continue. Maybe I don't know if I'd be doing 4 short stories again next year in as quick succession.
Sure.
But at the same time, I got to argue, it's like, got stuff done as opposed to it just being ideas in my head. So definitely be on the lookout for the writing contest. We'll be posting the results as soon as they're up and available, along with all the stories themselves. And we'll probably in our next episode in the distant future of 2022, we'll give you a little note on and how all those stories went.
They all went, yeah.
So I think with that,
we'll say our goodbyes.
We're at 1 hour and 21 minutes. I think that's a good spot.
That's probably a perfect stop. To say thank you for listening, guys.
Thank you for joining us on this weird adventure through space and time.
Have a great 2022.
Yes.
Bye.
Bye.
Like when you first started talking about all of the holidays and everything.
Yeah.
Like halfway through that, I'm like, oh, this is after Christmas, crap.
Yeah, this episode
will come out after Christmas. Like, it didn't even dawn on me until halfway through all that. I'm like, that's where Brian was going with this. Now I get it.
Now you get it.
Oh my God.
It's weird recording things in far in advance.
Yeah.
I still haven't gotten the hang of that part. It's always very present in the now. Oh, yeah. Fun stuff.